Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This took place yesterday. Let me read a couple graphs from a Star Tribune story. The president signed an executive order upholding freedom of speech on college campuses, a move some local higher education officials shrugged off as a highly visible case of preaching to the choir. They, again, reading from the Star Tribune story, they voiced skepticism that the president's order tying campus free speech protections to federal higher education funding will have much of an impact. Noting the order calls on colleges and universities to do what they are legally required to do, uphold the First Amendment in the case of public institutions, and follow their own policies in the case of private ones. Some expressed concerns that the new reporting requirement would mostly serve to add cost and bureaucracy. Dan saw this story. I saw it also and was drawn to Catherine Hinderaker, who's about to join us. She is a St. Olaf senior who leads the St. Olaf College Republicans. She said she's thrilled about the order, even remains unclear how it will be enforced and whether it can address the isolation pushback from peers that conservative students face. Catherine, thanks for very much for coming on. How will you try to judge whether it's here in you know your last year at St. Olaf, or someone who's still going to pay attention to this, whether what the president did yesterday does have any effect, whether it's short-term or long-term?
You know, that's a good question, and I think that's something a lot of people are worried about is, you know, will this really make a difference? But I think just getting the conversation started at a federal level is a huge step. I mean, this is a big problem. Free speech is suppressed on college campuses every day. And if we can at least start talking about it and noticing when it's happening, I think that's a step in the right direction. So I think, you know, it remains to be seen how much they'll really do. But start talking about it is, you know, the right thing to do.
So let's talk Ben Shapiro, because Ben Shapiro is a part of this, and where he was scheduled at the University of Minnesota and Ben Shapiro when he was traveling around the country. In the story, it points out that St. Olaf did not schedule a speech by Shapiro. Do you think that was isolated, or do you think that was a pattern of what has taken place at St. Olaf while you have been there and even before you attended there?
I think it's absolutely a pattern. It's a pattern of not paying attention to these free speech concerns. It was something among many incidents. And, you know, the problem is these things start with administrators, but they affect students. And so, you know, it creates a kind of culture where free speech is suppressed, and that's everyone's just okay with it.
Anecdotally, I'm with you. Okay, I've watched this, and it does seem to me that there is a pretty direct imbalance about the leeway that liberals will get compared to conservatives on campus. So that's me just observing it. You know, a lot of times then we need data. We need numbers in some way to back it up. Is that quantifiable? I mean, does that add to the argument that conservatives like yourself, or even observers like myself, would add to say, well, it's not only that I feel that way, but we can show you by what has taken place the last 5-10 years at X amount of campuses.
Yeah, right. I think that's a really good point. I don't know of anyone that's trying to do that, but you can see, I mean, the sheer number of students who report these things happening is obviously, you know, something. So I think that's a good point, and I don't know how we go about that, but I do think there's a huge number of students that have reported feeling this way and doing this, and a lot of it is something you can't really quantify. It's the kind of social pressure to not express your opinions if they're anything different from the norm. And, you know, that's hard to quantify. So I think that's a good point, though.
Do you think the president is doing this just to reach out to the base, or do you think he does have a general overall concern about this?
You know, I don't know. I hope he has a general overall concern, and I know he's worked with groups like Turning Point and other people who are doing things to fight for free speech on campus. So I think it does show at least some level of concern.
Catherine Hinderaker is with us. She is a senior at St. Olaf. She's in charge of the St. Olaf College Republicans reacting. The president signed an executive order yesterday upholding freedom of speech on college campuses, the belief that some have, including the president, that conservatives are not given the same leeway as liberals. When you hear others who will say, we already have these protections, right? And that we're all just kind of shaped by our biases on this. How do you react to that?
You know, I think that's just wrong. My experience personally, and the experience of a lot of conservatives I know, is that administrators aren't doing anything to protect free speech. And they're, you know, even making it worse in a lot of cases, like such as the Ben Shapiro example from my school. You know, that was a great opportunity for them to promote civil discourse and differing opinions, and they wouldn't let us. They wouldn't let us do it. So I think that's just wrong, and I think they're really kidding themselves if they think that they're already protecting free speech on campus, because they're not.
Well, the example I use often here at the University of Minnesota, and wasn't too long ago when Condoleezza Rice was going to speak, and that people on the left were still so upset about the way things played out with Iraq more than Afghanistan, just spoke up and pushed back so much at Condoleezza Rice. And I'm sitting there saying, if we're really not going to have the Secretary of State, former Secretary of State, be available to speak on college campuses, then something is startling wrong in that area for me.
Right. And that's the core of the problem is, you know, it's really impeding on students' learning, in my opinion. How can you learn and get a well-rounded education, like exactly what we come to college to do? How can you get that if you're suppressing certain points of view? And I think it really impedes on students' learning and the way college is working. So that's partly why I think it's such a big problem.
Catherine, do you think people are consistent enough on this, though, where you could get enough liberals who would speak out and say, okay, fill in the blank, including maybe a Ben Shapiro, they should be allowed to speak, or Republicans who don't necessarily agree with a liberal or a Democrat is coming would say, listen, I'm not going to agree with him. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to agree with her, but he or she should have the ability to speak, or are we just going to fall back in our own little camps and we're going to get more bothered by this if we feel only our side is slighted as opposed to being consistent on the overall feeling of free speech?
Yeah, that's a great point. And I do know a lot. I have a lot of liberal friends who would support me in bringing in a speaker and did support me in bringing in a speaker. But there's also a lot of people who have this kind of notion that hearing the other side's opinions is dangerous. They really see it as a dangerous thing. And I think if we're doing things like not inviting in these speakers, you're not doing anything to solve that problem. If they're not hearing these people, how are they going to understand that, you know, these ideas aren't dangerous, they're just different?
Catherine, thanks for coming on. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.